What is the difference this morning between living a life of victory, a life of power, or a defeated and powerless life? Let me tell you the difference. The difference is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Power of God from our series, The Difference. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Power of God.
And I don't want to take that chance altogether. The power of God that got Jesus up from the dead. Let's look at the difference today. Now you got, I wanted to establish the point that you got all this power, right? Now that we've established it, let's go back and look at our story in 2 Kings chapter 6. And the first point that I want to make is that you have to recognize when the power has been lost. You got to recognize when the power has been lost. The prophets, these young preachers came to Elisha and they said that the place where we are being trained, the seminary where we are being trained is too small. We are getting more and more young prophets and we need to build a bigger school. And so it says that they went down to the Jordan and they began to cut down trees in order to expand their seminary. And they asked Elijah, would he go with them? And Elijah said, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head flew into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Alas, master, for it was borrowed. He lost his power. Have you ever tried to cut down a tree or chop wood with the handle of an axe? You're not going to make a whole lot of progress. And why is that? Because you lost the power. And we see, sadly, we see so many preachers, Christians, who continue to serve, and they serve powerless. They continue to try to cut down the trees of ministry with their axe, but they're hitting against the tree with the axe handle, and they have no power. The lesson that we can learn from this young prophet right here, and again, it's a common sense lesson, and that is he had to stop what he was doing. He had to address the situation that his power was gone. He couldn't just keep on business as usual. And so we ask the question, how many of us are continuing to do things? And you know, I just don't want to limit it to ministry. You know, I want to talk about husbands and wives. You've lost the power in your marriage. Fathers and mothers, you lost the power. You know, it says that Lot, when they came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and they told Lot to get his family out, and Lot went to his son-in-laws to tell them that we got to get up out of this place. It said that he spoke to him like one who was foolish. Why is that? Because Lot lost the power of his testimony. He lost the power that here he was. These angels came, stayed with him, The men of the city came and said, let us bring these men out so we could have sex with them. And Lot said, don't do such a thing. I have two daughters who have never known men. I will send them out to you. The man lost his testimony. And so no wonder when he went to his son-in-laws to say, we got to get up out of here, that they didn't listen to him. He lost his power. Maybe you lost the cutting edge on your job. You know, I was went back and I looked at some companies that lost their cutting edge. Just think about this. Blockbuster lost its cutting edge and went out of business. I remember, man, I used to go to Blockbuster all the time. They had stores all over the place, and you could go and rent videos, movies, and watch them. Because Netflix came along, and people started streaming online, and Blockbuster didn't try to, you know, keep up and keep his axe sharp, that they went out of business. A place that I would go, especially when my kids were growing up, every November and December, Toys R Us. Toys R Us went out of business. Now, I heard that they're trying to come back a little bit in one of these department stores, but they went out of business. Why? Because they lost their edge. They lost their cutting edge when people were going online buying stuff. They didn't make the transition. They didn't keep their edge sharp. Another place used to go all the time. Sears, right? Sears pretty much had to reduce to outlet stores. Why? Because they lost their cutting edge to Walmart and Target, Kmart, Hills. Let me tell you, go way back, right? Some of y'all remember Hills, right? Why did they go? They lost their cutting edge. And so maybe they should have stopped somewhere along the way, realized they lost their edge, and went and found how to sharpen it. How do you know when the power has been lost? Let me give you three ways that you know the power has been lost. First of all, you lose the eye of the tiger, right? I mean, there was a time, you know, in that Rocky movie, right? You got the rock. You got to get the eye of the tiger back. You got to get the eye of the tiger, right? That means that you're hungry. That means that you're driven. That means that you have that desire. You have that passion. You got to get the eye of the tiger back. I remember I was getting the eye of the tiger for working out. And many of you remember one of our members, Reggie Delaney. He was a personal trainer. And I told Reggie, I said, Reg, I said, man, I got the eye of the tiger, man. I got the eye of the tiger. And so I started working out. Reggie started working me out. And I think my brother was working out with Reggie, too. We was working out together. Then I know a couple times, you know, the crib monster got me. Right? Or it was too cold outside. And I said, Reg, man, I said, I'm not gonna make it today, man. And after about the second or third time, Reg said, man, you said you had the eye of the tiger. I think you got the eye of a kitty cat. You know, so we lose the edge when we don't have that eye of the tiger, that passion that we had for whatever it was that we did, that pursuit that we had, that we've lost the power, we've lost the edge. We've lost the edge when you lose your effectiveness. You know, I'm teaching through the book of Ecclesiastes, and in chapter 12, it talks about old age. And one of the things it says in old age is that, watch this, it says, when the grasshopper becomes a burden. When the grasshopper becomes a burden. Now, what in the world does that mean, when the grasshopper becomes a burden? You know what it means? When we get frustrated with little things, right? Like a small thing as a grasshopper that you should just be able to flick out of the way, right? It becomes a burden. I mean, man, you got to reason and you got to come up with why I got to do this and how I can figure it. And so, you know, it's a burden to you. And we see that you lose your power, you lose your effectiveness when you get frustrated by little things that come. come along. It eats away at your power, that when people say things to you that upset you and discourage you, instead of you being able to stand strong and letting it run off your back like water off a duck's back, now you get frustrated, you get discouraged, you're ready to quit, you're ready to throw your hands up in the air, right? You've lost your edge. You've lost your edge. You've lost your edge when you lose your discipline. You know, your ability to be able to do the things. You know, I've been reading this book on self-discipline, and in the book it says that self-discipline is the ability to know what you want to do and then go after it. To know what you want to do and go after it. And so you've lost that discipline, that ability to be able to do the things that you know that you need to do. Now, I realize that at some point, you know, we, the older that we get, and so I'm talking to, I guess, people in my generation, that we don't have the energy that we used to have for some things. I understand that. But again, God will give you the power, regardless of what age that you're at. God will give you the power to do whatever it is that you need to do. And so we need to understand that discipline is something that's needed. And when we've lost the eye of the tiger, we've lost our effectiveness, and we've lost our discipline, it's at that point that we've lost the edge. And so, not only to recognize that the power has been lost, but we need to remember that the power is not ours. Notice what the young man said, "Alas, master," when he lost his axe head, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." The power that we have is not ours, but it is given to us by God in the form of the Holy Spirit. This power, you know, don't you get the big head and get out here thinking that it's you that's doing this. Well, if it is you, then, you know, that reminds me of the illustration that I heard about a lamp that was burning, and it was full of oil, and then it burned down and all the oil burned out, and then the lamp started burning on the wick, and there was a putrefying smell that came up from the wick, right? All the oil burned up. And if we have allowed the oil of the Holy Spirit to burn up in our lives, then we're running on the wick. And guess what? Yeah, that's right. I'm going to put myself in. We stink. We stink. When we're burning on the wick, we stink. This power is not of us. This power is of the Holy Spirit, that God has given us his Holy Spirit. Unless we rest, rule, and abide in the Holy Spirit, we are operating on the flesh. And if you go to that next slide, and this is a quote by Dr. William R. Glaze, and you can tweet this out if you want to. "God desires that we manifest the fruit of the Spirit rather than the fruit of the flesh." See, either you're operating in the Spirit or you're operating in the flesh. Notice the picture. On one side, there's a dove, which represents the Holy Spirit and brings the fruit of the Spirit. On the other side, I got to make sure I look around, because we might have some, I know we got one Baltimore Raven fan. He's not here today, right? Y'all don't tell him that I said this, right? He might be watching online. He told me he was going to buy me a Ravens hat and a Ravens shirt. So when I wear it, I'm trying to help out a member. So I just want to let y'all know whatever. Okay, but on the other side, you know, we see a raven, which is a scavenger. It has rotten fruit in its claws. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, you know, are we laboring under the power of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, long-suffering, and self-control? Are we laboring under the power of the Holy Spirit, or are we laboring under the power of the flesh? Right? And if we are laboring under the power of the flesh, we are operating with a dull edge. we have lost our edge, that we no longer have the power to be able to do the things that God would have us to do. So we got to remember that the power is not ours, but it was given to us by God in the form of the Holy Spirit. And then we got to return to the place where we lost the power. Right? If you're operating today in a powerless condition, you've got to return to the place where you lost the power. Notice what it says in verse 6. And the man of God said, where fell it? Where did the beam go in? And he showed him the place where the axe head went in. And he cut down a stick, and he cast it thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, he said, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. You got to return to the place where you lost the power. You know what? And it's not easy. It's not hard to do. You remember when the Israelites entered the promised land and God told them that every place their foot trod, he was going to give to them. And they went in and Jericho, man, fell right before them. And then they went up against this little city called Ai. Little city. Two letters in his name. A and I. Ai. And they got defeated. And Joshua fell on his face before God and said, God, I thought you were going to be with me. God, I thought you were going to allow us to take the promised land as we went through. God, I thought that you were going to give this land to us. And he fell on his face. He cried out before God. And God said, there's sin in the camp. And he showed him that Achan had taken the accursed thing. And Joshua had to deal with that. And once he dealt with it, they were able to resume their journey. But you got to return to the place where you lost the power. Did you lose the power because you grieved the Holy Spirit? The Bible says don't grieve. In Ephesians 4:30, it says don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Did you lose the power because you grieved the Spirit at the river of rebellion or the sea of selfishness? The river of rebellion means that there's some sin in your life. That maybe you are doing something that's not pleasing to the Lord. Maybe you're harboring anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. The river of rebellion. You've grieved the Holy Spirit. And that's why you don't have the power in your life. Maybe it was at the sea of selfishness that you grieved the Holy Spirit. You looked at, and you remember the poem that I quote often. I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. It was very small, 3 guests in all, just I, myself, and me. I ate all the sandwiches while I drank all the tea. It was also I that ate the pie, now passed the cake to me. Right? Maybe we've been selfish. Maybe we've consumed things upon our own lust. We've consumed things upon our own desires, and we've grieved the Holy Spirit. You know, what does it mean? You know what it means when somebody's grieved with you. You know, think about the time that maybe you offended your husband or your wife and they were grieved with you. Think about the time that maybe you offended your parents and they were grieved with you. Their spirit was heavy. You know, they couldn't operate that business as usual because they were grieved. And maybe the Holy Spirit is not giving us the power and empowering us because we've grieved him. Or maybe we've quenched the Spirit at the ocean of occupation or the creek of callousness. In Ephesians 5 and verse 19, it says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to quench the Holy Spirit? If grieving the Holy Spirit means doing something that we shouldn't do, quenching the Holy Spirit means not doing something that you're supposed to do. The word quench means to suppress. I always like to use this illustration. I pastored another church before I came here, but before I pastored that church, I pastored another church way out in the country, right? Way out in the country. And my kids were little at the time. I think it was maybe just Dan in Nicole. And, you know, we drove way out into the country to go be there on Sunday, and they had Sunday night service, so we had to stick around all day. And I remember one day, one of the families invited us over for dinner. And now, you know, we out in the country. You know, we were in places, man, where they had the doors, there were no doors, and goats would wander in and out, chickens coming in and out. And I remember we were sitting there, and they were in the other room cooking, and my son Daniel, he saw a roach on the wall. And he said, "Dad, look, a bee, a bee." And I said, "Shh, shh, shh, be quiet." You know, I was trying to get him to be quiet. And you know, isn't that what we do to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit says, "Look, I want you to do this. I want you to send an email. I want you to write a letter. I want you to make a phone call. I want you to bless her." Shh, shh, shh. We suppress or we quench the Holy Spirit. And we quench the Holy Spirit at the ocean of occupation. We get too busy. We get gone and we get busy. And we don't have time to do what it is the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. And so the Holy Spirit says, "You've quenched me. You've doused me. You put me out." Or maybe it's at the creek of callousness that the Holy Spirit told us to do something and we just became hard-hearted, right? We just hardened our heart toward what it was the Holy Spirit told us to do. And now we see that we lost the power. And so we got to get on our knees and we got to cry out to God and ask him to show us the place. Show me the place. And then I conclude with my last point. And that is, we got to reconnect with the power. Verses 6 and 7. "And the man of God said, 'Where fell it?' And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and he cast it in thither, and the iron did swim." Now, that's a miracle in itself right there, that an iron head would come back to the surface and begin to swim. "Therefore, he said, 'Take it up to thee.' And he put out his hand, and he took it." That we've got to reconnect with the power. And how do we reconnect with the power? First of all, through brokenness. We got to reconnect through brokenness. We got to identify where we've lost the power, and whatever it was that caused us to lose the power, we've got to become broken over that. We got to become sorrowful over that. We got to fall on our face before God and say, "God, please forgive me for harboring bitterness in my heart. Lord, please forgive me for harboring unforgiveness in my heart. Lord, please forgive me with whatever sin that I'm dealing with." And as we're broken, God begins to cut a channel through us. He cuts this empty channel through us, which leads to my next point, that as we are broken to our sin, that God cuts this channel to us, and then we say, "Holy Spirit, fill me once again. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Give me the strength. Give me the anointing that I need to do whatever it is that you have called me to do." We reconnect to the power through being broken to our sin. Once God shows us the place, we are broken to that. We are sorrowful over that. We are repentant of that. And then we ask God for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Fill me, break me, mold me, use me, Spirit of the living God.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of A Fresh Vision of God from our series, The Difference. If you'd like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Power of God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Power of God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Power of God. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, The Difference, is West. Site, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.